Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's conference. If you want to ask a question, please press star and then the number one. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now I will turn the meeting over to your host, Angela Daglino. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you, operator, and thank you all for joining this morning's DRAM 2021, also known as DRAM 6, webinar conference. And so just wanted to go over a little bit of housekeeping rules. In the chat box, we will be, accepting any questions you may have. So please, definitely, if you have a question, feel free to type in your question at any time. You have been muted, and we will be, having some time for Q&A once we are able to go over all the material. It is a robust presentation. As you all may know, there, if you cannot see the screen, there is also the opportunity to click on the website and link below, and that way you can access the presentation. Again, if you cannot hear, definitely, as a reminder to maybe some of your colleagues who may be online, to call in that 888 number, as indicated. And so wanted to go over the agenda quickly. We'll go through an introduction and overview of the entire session. We'll talk about bid, valuation, and selection of the RFO. We'll go into the DRAM request for offer bid materials, and then, talk through some of the QC template and offer forms. And then, we'll go through each individual IOU-specific offer form and close with any questions you may have. So with that, I will go ahead and turn this over to Allison Field from San Diego Gas and Electric. Next page.
Hi, this is Allison with San Diego Gas and Electric. Just wanted to go over the conference scope and logistics. The scope is to focus on DRAM 6 pilot request for offers. Just a reminder, out of scope, we will not discuss any other DR programs or other utility procurement programs. And I think we already went over a few of the housekeeping items, but just a reminder to please remain on mute. Do not place the call on hold. If you have to leave, please drop off the call. And the conference is being moderated by an operator, and there will be opportunities for Q&A throughout the presentation. Please follow the operator's instructions to ask a question. Moving on to slide 4. I believe Shirley is going to cover the legal disclaimers.
Yes, this is Shirley Wu. I am in the PG&E Law Department. We are looking for an auction here, which is a competitive auction with a level playing field. And we instruct all participants to comply with antitrust guidelines and laws. As in past auctions, you will find as we go through the materials, and as you look at the materials on the DRAM website and in the contract, there are confidentiality requirements. Bidders are not to talk about or share their bidding information with other bidders. We do not want people doing anything that amounts to collusion or dividing up the market or coordinating prices. It's pretty much what you would see and understand when you're trying to maintain fair competitive behavior and avoid restraint of trade and avoid any collusion type activity, conspiracy, that would interfere with individual bidders putting their best foot forward on their own. If there are questions about this, we will take them during the Q&A session. Thank you.
So for general Q&A guidance, we have posted and will continue to post questions and answers on the DRAM RFO websites. Q&As that apply to all three IOUs are included on all three sites, but IOU-specific questions are only on the associated IOU site. Questions and answers from today's conference will be documented on the sites. Questions can be submitted via email at any time until the question submittal deadline as follows, and you must CC the independent evaluators. Questions received and answers will be posted to the website periodically. The deadline to submit questions is Friday, May 29th, and we will post the final set of answers no later than Monday, June 1st. As a reminder, offers are due on June 9th. Moving on to slide 6. And we can move on to slide 7. So an overview of what the DRAM RFO pilot is. It originated as a CPUC staff proposal in the DR-OIR, changed to a pilot by Decision 1412024 and continued for subsequent years pursuant to Decision 1606029, 1710017, 197009, and modified by 1909041 and 1912040. It's envisioned as a supply-side DR approach for third parties, provides a capacity, also referred to as resource adequacy payment, for DR aggregators. DR aggregators participate directly in the CAISO markets with customers in the investor-owned utility service area. An alternative to bilateral aggregator-managed portfolio contracts and other IOU DR offerings. A vehicle to encourage new participants in the DR market, 2021 DRAM continues to have a 10% set aside for new market entrants. There's a minimum August 2021 offer capacity bid, minimum energy requirement, standard contract for RA, no bilateral negotiations of the contract, and capacity may vary by month for delivery during one or more months from January to December 2021. The budget for SCE is $6 million, for PG&E $6 million, and SDG&E $2 million. Moving on to slide 8. For capacity product definitions, system capacity is IOU-wide, must be bid per CAISO, must offer obligation in day-ahead and or real-time market as PDR resource. Local capacity must be located in local capacity areas, same must offer obligation as system. SCE covers the LA Basin and Big Creek Ventura substations. PG&E local capacity product must be within one of PG&E's 7 LCAs listed in Appendix A, and SDG&E, it's the entire service area. For flexible capacity category 1, 2, or 3, bids into day-ahead and real-time energy market, able to ramp and sustain energy output for a minimum of 3 hours, and must be a PDR resource. Addresses variability and unpredictability created by intermittent resources, and must bid per CAISO, must offer obligation for flexible resources. Moving on to slide 9. General bid can have any type of customer included. Customers can use on-site renewable generation or energy storage to provide load reductions. Customers can have backup fossil generation but cannot use it for DRAM load reductions. Seller is responsible for enforcing this requirement. Moving on to slide 10. For roles and responsibilities, the CAISO receives product registration from the DRP, receives bidding and scheduling activity from the scheduling coordinator, operates, market, and dispatches resources, determines performance and settlement in conjunction with the scheduling coordinator. The scheduling coordinator can act as a DRP. To bid PDR into CAISO market, sellers will be required to use CAISO-qualified scheduling coordinator to conduct market and business transactions with the CAISO. Facilitates DRP scheduling and bidding activity with the CAISO. Facilitates settlement and calculation of baseline and performance. The scheduling coordinator will handle business relationships and transactions with the CAISO. Provides information should there be an IOU audit of demonstrated capacity. And we've included a link below to the 2021 scheduling coordinator aggregated information package. Moving on to slide 11. The wholesale DRP or aggregator submits resource registration to the CAISO consisting of unique customers. submits SISR forms for each service account to authorize IOU to release customer data and meets CAISO PDR requirements. Moving on to slide 12. The seller abides by all provisions of the DRAM purchase agreement, a reminder to please be familiar with your obligations as a deemed DRP, provides required security posting to buyer per contract, submits qualifying capacity information roughly 75 days prior to the delivery month and supply plan roughly 60 days prior to the delivery month, works with scheduling coordinator to provide statement of demonstrated capacity, works with scheduling coordinator if there is an audit of demonstrated capacity, provides required registration data for residential DRAM resource, complies with CAISO market rules, CPUC RA rules, and the Rule 24 and 32 tariffs, works with customers or aggregators to provide load reduction, works with scheduling coordinator to bid DRAM resources via appropriate CAISO products and market, and comply with CAISO must offer obligation, receives meter data for settlement from IOU per authorization provided in SISR form, and settles with customers and scheduling coordinator and retains earnings from market participation. Moving on to slide 13. This is the illustration of direct participation and resource adequacy. Third-party direct participation, seller aggregates customers for DRAM resource. Seller participates directly in the CAISO market through scheduling coordinator. Dispatches and settlements are between the CAISO and the seller's scheduling coordinator. All earnings in the CAISO markets go to seller and seller's customers, no IOU involvement. For RA, seller provides the supply plan to IOU 60 days prior to month. Seller provides qualifying capacity information to IOU roughly 75 days prior to month. And seller provides demonstrated capacity through scheduling coordinator to IOU at the end of the month. Moving on to slide 14. The buyer abides by the provisions of the DRAM purchase agreement. The buyer evaluates the qualifying capacity estimates for reasonableness and determines if capacity should be derated. Claims RA credit for DR resource provided by the seller. Not involved in the CAISO market settlements. Pays seller all undisputed amounts for DR capacity after delivery month upon receipt of statement of demonstrated capacity by the seller. Right to audit capacity delivered under demonstrated capacity contract provisions. Customer data provided by the IOU. Validates customer eligibility upon receipt of the SISR form from the DRP. Provides meter data to aggregator or the DRP per conditions of the SISR and Rule 24 and 32. Moving on to slide 15. For the independent evaluator, Merrimack Energy Group is the IE for the solicitation, which includes Wayne Oliver and Keith Oliver. The role of the IE is to ensure reasonable and uniform treatment of all potential counterparties by monitoring the IOU solicitation and discussion processes, monitoring IOU valuation methodologies and selection processes, reviewing bids to assure competitive process and no market collusion or market manipulation by some sellers, and reporting to the Commission on the auction process. The IE is privy to all offers, invited to participate in all discussions, reviews all bids, reviews bid scoring and selection, and must be copied on all correspondence between each IOU and their bidders. Moving on to slide 16. And we'll pause for any questions here.
Operator, may you please prompt the guest?
Sure, ma'am. Thank you. Participants, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to present your question, please press star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your name clearly when prompted. Your name is required to introduce your question. To cancel a request, please press star, then number 2. One moment, please, while we wait for the questions to queue up.
Thank you, operator. And also, as a reminder, we are monitoring the conversation in the chat box, so feel free to also type any questions you may have.
Excuse me, speakers. We currently have questions on queue. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1, record your name clearly when prompted.
Thank you, operator. We'll wait for one more minute, and in the event there's no questions, we'll move on to the next page. All right, we'll go ahead and proceed to the next slide. Oh, actually, I think there is a question. So the question is, as a new entrant, do I need residential customers to offer power? And so to answer your question, Drew, the answer to that is no. As a new entrant, you do not need to have residential customers to offer power. Okay, next slide.
This slide 17. I'm Mari Turner, PG&E. I'll be covering the valuation and selection process. Next slide, please. Slide 18. So before we get into the valuation selection process, supply diversity. And the IEs encourage women, minority, disabled, veterans, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender business enterprise, also known as diverse business enterprises, or DBE, to participate in the DRAM RFO. General Order 156 was adopted by CPUC in 1986 with the Electric Procurement Added in 2012 to promote the greater competition amongst utility suppliers by expanding the available supplier base and to encourage greater economic opportunity for diverse business enterprises historically left out of utility procurement. Sets of the rules governing the development of programs to increase participation of DBEs and procurement of contracts from utilities are required by the CPUC. For additional information, please visit the relevant IOU's websites listed below. Next slide, please. So for the valuation selection process, bids must comply with all the requirements of the RFO. Any bids with conformance issues will be discussed with the IE. The goal is to ensure that all bidders are treated in a fair manner. There will be a cure period, and during this period, bidders will only be allowed to change fields that the IU has stated require revisions, if any. No changes will be allowed to any other fields. Bidders will not be allowed to correct pricing level unless specifically requested by the IOU during the cure period. It is the responsibility and duty of the seller to accept full risk for pricing and developing their project. Failure to respond to inquiries by the IOUs regarding incomplete or incorrect information could result in disqualification from the RFO. The IE will review and validate methods of processing the bid information and evaluating offers to ensure that the evaluation is done fairly with no preferential treatment to any bidders. Affiliate bids, if any, will be closely examined during the evaluation offer process to ensure the offer is evaluated in the same manner as the other offers. And all communication and negotiations will be closely monitored and assessed by the IE to ensure no preferential terms and conditions are included in the offer. Next slide, please. In accordance with CPUC approval, DRAM offers will be selected according to the following methods. Offers will be ranked by net market value, NMV, per unit adjusted for qualitative criteria, which we'll discuss in the next slide. IUs will not select offers that is an aggregate of all contracts that will exceed their authorized budget. Now, IUs may elect not to select an offer if the offer price is above the long-term avoided cost of generation, also known as LRAC, which for partial year bids, IUs will use the prorated LRAC methodology to assess that partial year bid and to weight the month by the short-run RA value. And if you would like additional information on the prorated LRAC, please visit the DRAM RFO's website, the IE's website, for the advice letters that go over the prorated LRAC. And then in addition to IUs may not select an offer if one or more of the monthly capacity prices of the offer are outliers and if the offer is not viable based on assessment, the QC estimate provided by the bidder. And lastly, at least 10% of the August megawatt procured must be set aside for new market entrants. And just a reminder, the new market entrant is defined as a provider who has not integrated a demand response resource into the CAISO market. Next slide, please. Okay, this slide shows the qualitative criteria applied in the 2020 DRAM. Bidders that are certified small business receive a 1% reduction in their costs. If bidders decline a contract when extended a shortlist offer can increase costs by 3%. And if bidders willfully terminate or defaulted a DRAM contract since 2019 can increase their costs by 10%. If bidder delivered demonstrated capacity totaling less than 75% of the total contract capacity for all contract demands since January 1st, their cost could be increased by 5%. And then, however, if a bidder delivered demonstrated capacity invoice totaling more than 95% of its total contract capacity in all its contract months in its recent DRAM contract, then they can reduce their cost by 5%. And next slide, please. And the PRG includes the CPC Energy Division, Power Advocates Office, PAO, TURN, which is the Utility Reform Network, and other interveners. The PRG oversees the procurement process of all three IOUs. During the course of this RFO, the IE will be reporting on the progress and any issues on this RFO to the PRG. Public and confidential IE reports will follow the required IE template guidelines. These reports are submitted to the CPUC with a request for the CPUC contact approval. Next slide, please. Okay, if you have any questions, please mute your line. Unmute your line.
Operator? Also,
yes, ma'am.
Can you please prompt? Thank you.
Sure, thank you. So, participants, to ask a question, please press star 1, record your name clearly when prompted. Thank you. Excuse me, speakers. We currently have 0 lines for question on queue.
Thank you, operator. If
you're welcome.
There are no other questions, we will go ahead and move on to the next slide. And it does seem like there is a question on DBE. The question is, how will DBE business be encouraged during the bidding process?
Excuse me, speakers. We currently have 0 still questions on queue. So, participants, once again, to ask a question, please press star 1, record your name clearly when prompted. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, operator. We will respond. I believe each, IOU has, each IOU encourages DBE business enterprises to and we encourage it throughout the bidding process, but we will respond back because there are 3 different utilities on the call via the FAQ. Maziar, we will respond back via FAQ on that one just to ensure consistency across the different IOU responses. And then another question from Drew Harris. Question is, to participate in DRAM RFO, do I have to register with each IOU to participate with them? And the answer to that question is yes. Each IOU has its own protocols and procurement processes. And so there was a slide earlier on to kind of go over that. But we will ensure that the FAQs clearly states that as well. Okay, moving on to the next slide. And so, hi everyone, I'll reintroduce myself again. My name is Angela Taglinow with Southern California Edison. And just wanted to go over some, highlights and quick bullet points on keys to a successful offer. So again, I can't express or, clearly say this more than enough, but please read, understand, and follow the instructions of each of the IOUs, RFO protocols. Each of the RFOs are differently operated by each IOU, so there are different instructions, different ways to register based off of the IOU's RFO you're going to participate in. Know the deadlines and what's expected at each deadline. Review all documents on each of the IOU's DRAM RFO websites as referenced in slide 5. Refer to the frequently asked questions, which will be posted on each of the IOU's DRAM websites. And then if you have any questions after fully reviewing the DRAM websites, you can always feel free to look at the different DRAM RFO websites to get more information on how to contact the different IOUs as listed in the bullet points below. When you're emailing any of the DRAM RFO teams, we need to ensure that the independent evaluator is always on those correspondence. And so our independent evaluator, as mentioned, is Merrimack and Merrimack Energy. And so they need to be CC'd and the email is provided. Moving on to the next slide, page 26 or slide 26. Just high level, IOU DRAM RFO schedules, which is consistent throughout all three IOUs. We all launched on 5/22/20, so a couple days ago. Today's the DRAM Bidders Conference, which we are jointly all presenting. The deadline for the RFO bid submittal varies throughout each IOU in terms of the timing, but it's all due on June 9th, 2020. We will be providing notice to bidders on selection on July 8th, 2020. And the IOUs will be filing their Tier 1 advice letters for contract approval, a CPUC contract approval, on the 22nd of July. So, again, I'll stress this again. Please refer to each of the IOUs' schedule as posted in their protocols. There may be some differences in terms of timing, so please read those carefully, depending on which IOU solicitation you want to participate in. Moving on to the next slide, slide 27. So just at a high level, we've been soliciting for DRAM, a couple of times now, and so this is the sixth iteration, and did want to stress the different modifications throughout the for this specific DRAM solicitation. So we are soliciting for system, local, and flex. Last year we didn't solicit for local, so this year we are. There are minor updates in the qualitative criteria, as Mari had mentioned earlier. Again, there's also the weighted long-run avoided cost of generation methodology for offers less than 12 months. And the offer selection includes an assessment of the QC qualifying capacity estimate viability. In terms of bid submission materials, the updated qualifying capacity assessment template it has been included as a part of the bid package, and these were based off of the Energy Division's March 2020 approved templates. So please review those carefully, as those have changed as well. In addition to the bid materials, one thing to be in compliance with Decision 1712009, all the IOUs are sharing vendor-developed load disaggregation reports for CARE customers. So definitely look at that. Each IOU may differ in how we're... I think we hear folks. The addition bid materials, the IOUs are sharing vendor-developed load disaggregation reports for CARE customers. Showing operating months, it's for 12 months, so it's for the full year of 2021, January through December. And as previously mentioned, the authorized budgets are indicated $6 million for SEE as well as PG&E, and then $2 million for SDG&E. I'm not going to go into too much detail on the different types of products, but again, there's information on system capacity, local capacity, and flexible capacity on the slide. Next page. So sorry, I think we may want to. Hello.
Hi, Angela. We can hear you. Okay, sir.
Okay. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, we can hear you fine, Angela.
Okay. Perfect. Sorry about that, everyone. It's been pretty challenging working through telecommute. So the DRAM purchase agreement highlights, I do want to spend a little bit of time on this slide and kind of go through the different, different articles. And so for the first one, there's a transaction, Article 1, type of products, residential and non-residential, as previously mentioned, system, local, and flex capacity. Do want to, emphasize to kind of review the agreement in terms of demonstrated capacity and also minimum energy dispatch requirements. Sorry, I think we hear folks again. Okay. All right. So let's see here. I wanted to stress the minimum energy dispatch requirements. So please, review the DRAM agreement, in thoroughly. In terms of Article 3, seller obligations, I can't stress enough. Please review that. Know your obligations. If you are taking on by being awarded a DRAM contract. So definitely read your contracts. The supply plan is due 10 business days prior to buyer's compliance showing deadlines. The qualifying capacity information Exhibit G is due 10 business days prior to the deadline for seller supply plan. The QCD rate notice for filings less than the quantity in seller supply plan, these are due 8 business days prior to the buyer's compliance showing deadline. So I know that's a lot to kind of take in real quickly, but please read the seller obligations. Know the RA obligations and the mandatory testing. And Article 4, payment and billing. Invoicing includes demonstrated capacity, so please reference that the exhibit in C1 and C2 for demonstrated capacity and the notice for that. Article 5, the credit and collateral provisions, please take a close look at that. Due within 10 business days after contract execution, that's when, credit and collateral postings are due. Collateral calculation includes a 20% of estimated undelivered energy penalty. And so and that's based off of monthly contracted quantity. So I would encourage you all to review Exhibit E so that you understand clearly, you know, the delivered energy penalty as well as, you know, the minimum energy dispatch requirements, because that's the exhibit tied to that. Article 7, representation, warranties, and covenants. Prohibited resources, please, you know, take a look at that. I did want to caveat that DRP cost-sharing obligations are actually subject to change pending the outcome of a upcoming, you know, decision. So it's A18-10008, just for clarification. So please take a close look at that, and just wanted to caveat that that may change. Article 9, events of default. Failure to achieve milestone by applicable deadlines, you know, ensuring that you're, you know, following the laws and rules protecting confidentiality and privacy of customer and personal confidential information. And then, again, Article 13 on confidentiality, take a close look at the privacy obligations and obligations to notify. So, you know, compared to last time, there's a couple more exhibits that have been tacked on. Please take a look at that. As I mentioned earlier, Exhibit C1 and C2 with respect to demonstrated capacity, Exhibit D in terms of communication protocols for data issues, Exhibit E for minimum energy dispatch requirements, Exhibit F, notice of month, showing month supply plan, Exhibit G, implementation guidelines for qualifying capacity, and Exhibit H for milestone schedule and form of the progress report. So I know this is all in one slide, but you know, please take a look, and I can't stress enough to just know your obligations and read the contract, please. Moving on to the next slide. In terms of supply plan requirements, the IOUs expect respondents to provide resource IDs and QC values, year-ahead supply plan, and other relevant information about their resource in a form of substantially similar to Exhibit F to the IOUs. This information is needed both for our year-ahead RA compliance and monthly RA compliance. QC information is also due 10 business days before the supply plan information, as I previously mentioned, and then all values of the supply plan in other forms submitted by respondents should be entered to the nearest hundredth of megawatt. Moving on to the next slide. Slide 30. And as I mentioned, in terms of demonstrated capacity, you know, this is the form. It may be a little bit pixelated, but wanted to just highlight and showcase the different exhibits. Moving on to slide 31, which should be exhibit C-2, form of notice of demonstrated capacity in terms of EFC. So that's there for you guys to review as well in the pro forma. Moving to slide 32, we have Exhibit D and Exhibit E. So, again, I mentioned the communication protocols for data issues, and then Exhibit E, minimum dispatch requirements. Please also take a look at the under-delivered energy penalty there for your guys' reference. Moving on to the next slide, 33. Exhibit F is the form of notice showing month supply plan. Moving on to the next slide. Exhibit G, implementation guidelines for qualifying capacity. You know, this was also included based off of the template approved by Energy Division in March. So please take a close look at that. Moving on to the next slide. Slide 35. So Exhibit H is the milestone schedule. You know, similar to the last exhibit that was presented, this was also a DRAM template based off of you know, ED approved templates in March. And so, please take a close look at the milestone schedule in form of progress report. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and pass this on to Netta to go over QC template and offer forms.
Great. Thank you, Angela. This is Netta Arazi with the Gaston Electric. In slide 37, I have a sample template of the DRAM Solar Estimate of Qualifying Capacity, or QC, for bid submission. This is a form that's required in your bid. And so I've listed the fields out here. You'll need to provide, of course, your name, the IOU you're participating with, and the offer number this applies to, and estimates about the type of capacity you plan to provide in your bid and is outlined in your bid. So information such as load type and dispatch method, there's a couple of prescribed options there, including the ones listed there. And again, if your particular load type or dispatch method is not described there, please use the other fields, and there are optional notes where you can provide additional detail on that. We're asking for the registered number of service accounts and the forecasted number. So if you've already participated in DRAM or have already participated in Rule 24 for PG&E and SCE or Rule 32 for San Diego Gas and Electric, provide your registered numbers there. Otherwise, if you're planning to recruit customers or have relationships with customers that aren't already registered, you can include them in the forecast. I include some formulas here as well to help you fill out your templates. And I won't go into the specific formulas to the right, but just know that they're there and available for you as a pointer. We're also asking for the projected load of registered customers and forecast customers and a total on that. And so this is the total load of the customers, not just the DR load, which we'll pick up in the next section, which is the per customer impact of registered service agreements, SAs, or forecasted service agreements. And so that's where we're looking at the demand response available from those customers. Then you'll provide your total projected load impact and do a quick ratio of the total load impact to the total load. And we have a field for optional notes in case you need to provide any explanation for any of the items listed here or anything to help us evaluate your offer more efficiently. These sections repeat for residential customers and then non-residential customers, so be sure to separate those out appropriately. And you may use multiple rows to describe different types of load types or dispatch methods per offer if you find that helpful. We are asking for historical information to justify and provide prior experience to the numbers that you're listing here. And so similar types of fields as above, but it's used to support your offer. So if you're providing particularly high numbers for per customer load impact, it's helpful to demonstrate that you have historical performance to support that. Or if you don't have historical performance because you're a new entrant, for instance, you could use public information available either online through the IOU's websites or other public information that's posted in studies there. Overall, you'll provide the estimated QC, which is a sum of your residential and non-residential total load impact, and divide by 1,000 for us so we can get it into megawatts. Next slide, please. Slide 38, we're doing a quick comparison between the IOU's offer forms, evaluations, and submission requirements. All three IOUs will be using Power Advocate for the submittal of offers, so please be sure to register in advance so that you aren't trying to register in the last minute. So make sure you at least give yourself a couple of days to register. The timing for the offer deadlines is slightly different, with PG&E starting at 1 p.m. Then Southern California Edison has a deadline of 11:59 p.m., and San Diego Gas and Electric has a deadline of 12 p.m. So be sure to meet those deadlines to submit your offers on June 9th. All three IOUs will use the net market value as the quantitative evaluation method, and all three IOUs will use the same qualitative factors as described earlier in this presentation. All three IOUs will also limit your number of offers to 20, and PG&E and SCE have a maximum bid size per month of 10 megawatts. That is not applicable for San Diego Gas and Electric. The minimum bid size is tied to the PDR requirements, which is 100 kW, and that applies to all IOUs as well. For August, you must provide some capacity in your offer. Any of the other months are optional, but you must provide some capacity in August. And there's no minimum bid size required for all months for local capacity except for through the August capacity. Next slide, please. I'm going to highlight a few pieces of the offer forms, although we will go into each of the offer forms separately in the next section. Under the offer forms, you are to select your product type, which is system capacity, local, or flex. And the requirement is that you bid as PDR, so that's not really an option anymore, though it used to be. And you must designate whether you are submitting an offer for a residential or a non-residential product. Those definitions are all included in protocols. You can provide the expected number of Rule 24 or 32 service accounts expected per offer. Bidders may specify how many customers per offer would require new Rule 24 or 32 service accounts and how many customers already have service accounts and are registered, for instance. And each of the IOUs has slightly different ways that we do an indication of whether bids are exclusive or inclusive. An exclusive offer is defined as offers that are exclusive of each other. And if two or more offers cannot both be awarded contracts in the RFO, for instance, offers 1 and 4 cannot both be shortlisted as the customers are the same. PG&E and SDG&E call this exclusive offers or variations. Inclusive offers are offers that are inclusive of each other. It means that they must all be awarded together. For instance, offer 2 must be selected with offer 4, and SCE uses that. Next slide, please. And let's pause for any questions over the past two sections. Operator, could you help us prompt for questions?
Sure. Thank you, speakers. So, participants, once again, if you would like to place a question, please press star 1 and then record your name clearly when prompted.
In the meantime, we did get one question through the chat, which is to participate in the DRAM RFO, do I have to register with we already did that. The one below that is there a listing of previous DRAM vendors and winners by IOUs? That information is publicly available in the advice letter filings for each of the IOUs. We're required to publish that information, so feel free to reference those filings and reach out through the DRAM inboxes if you need references to those advice letter numbers or links. Any other questions?
At this time, speakers, we didn't have any questions on queue. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Record your name clearly when prompted. Thank you. Excuse me, at this time, speakers, we still don't have any questions on queue. Oh, sorry, we have one. Allow me a moment to check the name, okay? Okay, speakers, we have one question online for Mariam. Ma'am, Your line is open.
This is Maryam Muzaffari from Energy Division at the CPUC. This is more of a clarification for the participants to note that all the DRAM templates, that some of which we went through in detail, are subject to change by commission staff. And in fact, we will be issuing an updated version of some of the templates in near future. The majority of the things will stay the same. There are tweaks to some of the fields. So just wanted everyone to know that there might be updates to the templates.
Thank you, Maryam, for that clarification.
Okay, if there are no further questions, let's walk through the IOU offer form. Kick it off to Mari Turner at PG&E.
Hi, everyone. Okay, so let's go to slide 41. I will cover the PG&E offer form, which is posted in the 2021 DRAM website. And you can find that the offer form under the DRAM RFO protocols and documents section of the website. And the offer form does not include the QC template that Netta just discussed, but that template is it's a separate Excel template found on the under the same section of the DRAM website. This specific RFO offer form instruction, it's the default to the when you open up the offer form, it will default to the instruction tab, to this instruction tab, and it's very important that you read this tab before you get started. You must submit the Excel version of the PG&E offer form. No other formats will be accepted. And this is the form you will use to submit to Power Advocate. And you can only submit one offer form per participant. And you are provided about 65 rows, but if you need more, you could contact a DRAM RFO and CC the independent evaluator, and we can enable more rows. An important thing to note about this work is before you begin entering any information, you must enable the macro or enable content. And this will allow all the functions in the cell to work, and it will also activate the conditional formatting. And this workbook functions best using the Microsoft Excel 2010 or later. Next slide, please. Slide 42. When completing the offer form, you can always refer to the sections of the solicitation protocols on the DRAM website to assist you in completing the form. In this tab, you will enter participant information such as bidder, scheduling information, and prior experience, and agree to be bound to the conditions of the RFO. For acknowledgement, which is section 12 of the protocol, you must select yes, which is the only drop-down option, to confirm you are a duly authorized representative and to test the info you provided on the form is correct, and to also test that you can perform all the obligations of the purchase agreement and protocol, and to certify that the type names act as an electronic signature. And one important field I want to point out is at the top where you see 0 of 53 entries made. That basically is an indication, if you still see that you probably didn't enable the macros, and so you may have to go back through to see if you've entered the field. I'm sure if you've probably started entering, but you probably did not enable the macros. Sometimes this is a validation, and so sometimes it could say 47 out of 53 entries was entered, so you may have missed some of the fields. So please go back to ensure you've enabled the macros and entered entered the missing information. And the best way to identify this is the field, if the field is still peach and it did not turn it green, then that means you didn't enable the macro, and you didn't you missed some information. Okay, so next slide, please. Slide 43. Okay, so the participant info tab also contains the confidential confidentiality protocol, which is Section 7 of the protocol. It requires sign-off to attest and acknowledge that no bidder shall collaborate or discuss with any other bidders or potential bidders' strategies, whether PG&E has selected the offers or not. Next slide, please. This slide 44. Okay, this is the actual offer tab, and it's similar. This is similar to previous years, and you can, if you need assistance or need additional information, you can go to Section 3 of the protocols. But this, like I mentioned, this is similar to previous years. The top row provide examples of how to complete the form. There's a maximum of 20 offers may be accepted per bidder. And cells are peached when they are incomplete and turn to mint green when you enter a value. And then as mentioned earlier about inclusive and exclusive, you can group offers by numbering it, and you can have the same number on multiple rows for different product variations of system local and reflex, which is inclusive of each other. An example of offer one has multiple rows and should be considered as part of the same offer. And for offer two and three, they're exclusive of each other, meaning they have variations of the same offer, and they both can be shortlisted, but it's only one or the other. They both cannot be shortlisted. It's either one or the other. And at the minimum, like to the top, to the right section, of the screen, and then each offer must include a product for August 2021. And the resource must be at least 100 kilowatts per PDR composed of the same retail customers in the PG&E service territory and within the CalISO sublot. And again, this is all entered in kilowatts. Please do not enter megawatts, it's kilowatts. And the monthly offer maximum is 10,000 kilowatts, which is basically 10 megawatts per offer. And please take the time, I want to stress this, that you take the time to review your offer. The cure period that we discussed is not for you to correct your offer, but only what PG&E specifies what you must correct. And next slide, please. And so the supplier chain responsibility, as mentioned in the previous slides about diverse business enterprises, DBE, the IEs encourage DBEs to participate in the DRAM RFO. And so this is the section that you would provide that information. If you're certified by more than one agency and one of them is CPUC, then you must select CPUC and provide a certification number. And also make sure to provide the information on any diverse business entity subcontractors. Next slide, please. Slide 46. So this is optional. It's for monthly registration. This is is to provide you an estimate of additional Rule 24 registration. These are monthly estimates that serve as illustrative and do not serve as a limit to bid evaluation and selection. With that, I'm going to hand this over to Kevin. I think we'll take questions at the end of this.
Thanks, Laurie. Appreciate it. This is Kevin.
Okay, thanks.
So we can go on to the next slide. I'm just going to briefly walk through SCE's DRAM offer form. Thanks. A lot of similarities here to PG&E's. Here's our instructions page. The way we've structured it is with dark orange cells to indicate required information, input either text or numbers, and then the lighter yellow is a drop-down box with a limited set of options. Any other information that you might need about how the offer workbook actually functions, you can find here in the first tab. We have four tabs here, so let's move on to the front page. Next slide. Thanks. So the front page is where basically all of the non-quantitative information about your offers will go, counterparty name, address, et cetera. We are requiring S&P and Moody's credit ratings only this time around, which is a slight change. And on this front page below, what's being shown in this preview are all of the questions that we have about your offer. A lot of yes, no's, so on and so forth. So each of the questions should be relatively self-explanatory once you get that far into filling out your offer. We also have a built-in validation, which will check to make sure that the required inputs are, in fact, input. Hopefully that's helpful for reducing the amount of curing that needs to be done. Next slide, please. This is the RA Offers tab, where you will input your offer information. Pricing is limited to 2 decimal places, which you'll see. We have the full year of 2021 offer for each month, quantity and price. You also indicate here what product and what customers, residential or non-residential, the offer includes. This tab also has a validation message, and it also loops in the next tab, the QC validation message as well. So this won't be for anyone who's filled out the FCE DRAM offer form. The main changes will be on the front page, the addition of a few questions as per our guidelines, and also the fact that DRAM 2021 is all 12 months. So that is another change. Okay, let's move on to the next slide. Right, so this is our this is the QC template tab. This is a little bit more comprehensive than last time around with updates from ED. Tried to include instructions by column below, which you can see the top of right there, with a column by column sort of description of what information might be needed. Mari went over quite a few of these beforehand. And the only other note is that, you know, this tab also has a validation scheme, which will help you know whether or not the offer is complete. The only other note that I would say is that for residential offers, there will be columns that are labeled as residential. You can see in row 5, all the columns below that big header are for residential customers, and then over to the right for non-residential customers. So that's all I have. That was rather quick, and we can take questions at the end of the section. Thanks.
Hi, this is Allison with SDG&E. So all of our offer forms can be found on our RFO website, sdge.com/2021-DRAM-RFO. These are the forms that must be used. We won't accept any substitutes, and we do require an offer form, credit application, and qualifying capacity assessment. Moving on to slide 53. So this is a screenshot of our offer form. It hasn't changed. This section hasn't changed from 2020. So just as a reminder, if some offers or groups of offers are exclusive from one another, you can use the variation number to indicate which offers can be included together. And then we also advise to use caution with autofill because it could unintentionally auto-increment. So we recommend using copy and paste instead in that section. Moving on to slide 54. And so all of our offer form is on one tab, so you just scroll to the right within that sheet. And once you scroll over, the next section is to enter the registration information, RA Flex category, capacity, and cost. And then when you scroll further over to the right is the area where you enter your qualitative criteria responses. And as a reminder, all responses should be in yes or no format. Moving on to the next slide. And now we can pause here for questions on all 3 IOU's offer forms.
Operator, can you prompt, please?
Ma'am? Thank you. So participants, to ask a question, please press star 1, record your name clearly when prompted. Thank you. Speakers, at this time, we don't have any questions on queue. Once again, for your question, please press star 1, then record your name clearly when prompted. Thank you.
While we wait for any questions, this is Netta with PG&E. We received a question on the chat from Jennifer Chamberlain asking, would those template changes affect the QC files we need to submit with bids? That was in response to Marin's earlier clarification about updates to the DRAM template. Marin in the Energy Division replied that the updates wouldn't affect bid submissions in a substantial way.
Excuse me. At this time, speakers, we still don't have any questions on queue. So, participants, to place your question, please press star 1. Record your name clearly when prompted. Thank you. Speakers? We don't have any questions on queue.
Thank you, operator. At this time, that pretty much concludes our presentation. We'll stay on the call if there's any other questions for within the next 3 minutes. But that concludes the IOU DRAM 2021 presentation.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect. Thank you for participating, and you may have a great day. Speakers, please allow me a moment. I'll transfer your lines to the speaker's room for your post-conference call. A moment, please.
Thank you, operator, and thank you, everyone.